There's going to be boys at these parties, but not just any boys. No, opposite sex boys.
Hello, and welcome to a special late night edition of Kids Get Acquainted with the Internet, a Girl Meets World podcast. I'm Keith.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Caitlin. And today we're talking about episode 6 of Girl Meets World, Girl Meets Popular, and episode 5 of season 2 of Boy Meets World, The Uninvited.
Okay. So, this is the late night edition, as Keith so eloquently put it.
It's 2:59 Eastern time.
So, we're a little, we're at our A game. So
sometimes we finish the podcast at this time, but I don't think we've ever started it at this time.
So this is going to be mellow and chill, and you're going to love it.
Mellow.
So, Girl Meets Popular. We watched it today.
Did we?
We did. Well, I guess technically yesterday.
It was hours ago.
My overall thoughts are basically that it's an uneven episode. The first half was really strong, and pretty much like everything in it was really strong for the first half. Then it kind of, once we got into Riley dressing up as the
Harajuku
girl, once she got into that piece of it, I wasn't as big of a fan. I felt like it kind of came out of nowhere for me. Also, pieces of the Topanga storyline felt off to me. But I do think that it had good parts near the end again. Like, I particularly liked when Topanga and Riley, basically walked past each other and realized what each other was up to. I thought that was a good little scene. What do you guys think?
So, I agree that the beginning started off strong. We had some great laughs when we were watching it and some nostalgic moments. But then, yeah, getting into the bulk of the the later half of it, like, there was just a lot of points that I either didn't understand because they didn't explain it well or were unnecessary, but then the end was a little weak but had some charm to it that I really liked.
I was really excited at the beginning, and I thought it was actually by far the strongest intro we've had yet.
I agree.
And one of the most solid beginnings to a storyline. Everything was just compact enough and with just enough like endearing qualities, a lot of great deliveries, a lot of great moments with Riley and then Riley interacting with Corey. But to me, it reached a certain point where it started to topple and then it kind of hit a wall, and I felt like there was a big dip in the quality of the episode where it just left a lot of things unexplained and came back towards the end.
Yeah, I definitely think that the setup was really strong here, but they sort of struggled through with the follow-through.
So for this episode, when we reach the grading section, which is now, we're going to actually break it up into parts because we feel that the beginning of the episode was so strong, we don't want to tarnish that with a lower grade weighted down by the rest of the episode. So we're going to split it down the middle. So we're going to say the beginning up to when she arrives at the party.
Ending with Damocles.
We'll say up to Damocles,
which we all love, by the way,
and and then from there to the end.
Dan, why don't you go first?
Okay, so I would probably give the first up until that point an A, maybe even an A+. I literally have like zero issues. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was fun. I thought it really reminded me of Boy Meets World, close enough to the episode we're going to talk about, but with sort of foraging, you know, going in its own path, so it wasn't boring. And I loved all the characters, so that's what I do for the first part. Second part is tough. I mean, it has a couple of high points in there. I'd probably give it closer to a C. What about you guys?
So I agree with the beginning, and like you said, there's so many nostalgic and moments and parallels to Boy Meets World. There was some just great delivery with the lines and physical comedy. So yeah, I'm like A+, I agree.
Yeah.
The second part, there was more like, there were just a couple moments that brought it up that I wouldn't give it as bad of a grade as if they didn't exist.
Yeah.
So, probably C-.
Yeah.
And so I will say, the beginning, I absolutely love the beginning. I was so happy for so short a time when we watched the beginning of the episode. I was awesome. There were great references when Corey was talking about he was never invited to the 7th grade parties. Yeah. Direct reference to the episode we're about to talk about, Boy Meets World. And so, A+ for me. I loved it. It was solid. The acting was great. Interesting, Lucas wasn't in it, which kind of changed the dynamic, I think, favorably. because we got more interactions between the two female leads, and there was nothing to do with Lucas.
I sort of agree with you. Okay, so the idea of no Lucas, I really like. Not because I hate Lucas or anything, because I think he has been getting stronger, but just the idea of not having to have him every single episode.
Might overcomplicate the storyline, which otherwise
at the same time, yes, you're right, it might overcomplicate it, but at the same time, it felt weird to me to have him being missing, especially because there's no mention.
That's very true. But he could have been sick.
Yeah, but it's over multiple days, and also just the fact that I feel like she would not just, give up on being actually popular if Lucas had been around.
Because he'd be able to say, hey, be true to yourself.
Well, no, but
let me hold my jacket over you.
That's actually the opposite of what I was saying. That, she'd want, the cool boy like Lucas to like her, so I don't feel it felt a little weird to me.
The hard issues with it would have never happened.
Yeah, it felt weird to me that she was accepting this role as only being liked by these nerdy people. If Lucas had been around, she'd still want him to be think he was cool.
Yeah, I'm wondering when they filmed it.
So let me just finish my grade.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
And also the second half, to me, really lost its focus. There's a lot of things which could have worked, mildly at least, but they just did not get into being. And there's only one super redeemable moment for me, which is the walk past scene, which we'll get into later. Yeah. So I'm going to give it a D plus, maybe C minus.
Yeah. I think there are a few things that all three of us agree that we don't really like that much in that part, and it's just about personal preference, about how much it bothers us, such as the sort of racially complicated thing going
complicated?
On.
I would say oversimplified was the word you're looking for.
Complicated to, controversial.
And we'll get a little bit more into detail about the other things.
Yeah.
But right now, why don't we start on a high note with that opening scene. And for all you youngins out there who may not have seen Boy Meets World yet, or at least not this episode of Boy Meets World, that opening scene is pretty much a direct parallel to Corey in 7th grade getting invited to a big high school party. High school or middle school?
For him, it's 7th grade.
7th grade.
7th grade high school, which is weird, but let's accept it.
Move it on. Happens in some parts
of the country. Yeah, we did realize that it's sort of odd. So in Corey's world, he's in 7th grade, and that's part of his high school. And Riley's world, she's in 7th grade, and that's part of middle school. But there's also 9th graders in her middle school. So,
I lived in a town, and our elementary school went to 6th grade, and I'm trying to remember, and I think it was 7th to 9th was middle school, and then 10th to 12th. So that's actually the exact setup.
But anyway, so Corey was invited in this uninvited episode to his first 7th grade party, just as Riley was. And it's a very similar scene where Sean doesn't get invited and Maya doesn't get invited, and they're passing out invitations.
And the actual giving of the invitation, the physical invitations, which Dan has a comment on, is kind of similar, except in Boy Meets World, it's kind of kooky.
It's kooky.
I'm going to go with kooky.
It was kind of kooky in Girl Meets World, too.
Yeah.
I was about to say Riley Meets World.
In a different...
And she does.
So in Boy Meets World, there's this ridiculous music going on. It's sort of soft focus, I think, and
it's slow-mo drama.
Epic
then you have the sounds of the
And the girl that's in Boy Meets World giving out the invitations, when she gives it to Corey, she's holding it above his head almost, and he reaches out for it and is so happy, and he exclaims and he wants to go celebrate with Sean, but Sean doesn't have an invite, and he tries to play it off at first, but it's apparent he's not really cool with it.
Sean's kind of bummed. I will say they both start out very similar in that both Corey and Riley are very focused on, I really want to go to this party, I'm really excited about it.
This is going to set the tone for me.
I need this to unlock, sort of, the social status, or, the ability to get to the social
level
status.
Level 5 of high school.
And can I just say, I love this first scene of Girl Meets World. I love the party girl walk, I love her, little peace sign thingy. He's hilarious.
Touching Maya's hair was amazing.
God, I love
that. They are adorable. I love them. I love them together.
With Maya's hair and then being like hugging her and being like,
bye bye Maya.
I actually loved all of the lines.
Good girl.
I love the thing about the I'm gonna end up buying things in bulk and you're gonna end up with the hipster guy.
Oh yeah, I just I mean, feel free to disagree with me, but I thought the pretty hipster boy was good racial representation because not only was this character in the show, but he actually was focused on for quite a while, and, like, you know, they're calling him the pretty hipster boy, and they're attracted to him, and Maya's gonna end up with him because he's so cool, and Maya's so cool, so that's the obvious pairing.
He's, like, 25.
Yeah,
he seems that way.
He's also a man, which Boy Meets World did all the time.
Yeah, Harley Kiner was, like, 47.
And I actually even, like, his like, acting, the guy, when he, like, hands over the thing.
Yeah, he's got, like, that smug, almost a smile, but then it's just, like, nah, he too cool to smile.
But we should talk about the physical invitation thing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
we're starting a new band called Physical Invitation. It's a punk rock band.
Also, I just realized that sounds weird.
That's why I said that.
Yes.
I never thought of that.
Anyway. So, I mean, I don't have, like, an issue with this. I just think it's interesting, and I assume they did it this way to parallel Boy Meets World, but I was wondering for younger people, does anyone actually hand out physical invitations anymore when things like Facebook and texting exist?
I mean, it was a couple of years ago, like...
You're so out of touch.
It was, like, maybe 3-4 years ago that I got a physical invitation to a Christmas party in... No, it wasn't. I was in law
class.
You
are cordially invited to attend the ball.
That was amazing.
It was 2 years ago. I'm sorry. My memory is so bad. Yeah, it was my senior year of high school. And I got invited to a party with a physical invitation.
Those are those senior year women. So they're totally different.
Senior year was a long time.
Yeah,
we're all old and sad.
I guess if you're wanting to be like classy or something, to me it seems like lame to hand out a physical invitation. But
it depends on the venue.
Yeah. I mean, in high school, like obviously if you're like...
If it was like a rich school and there's like a really classy kind of shindig, you dig.
It's not, like, super common, but it's kind of silly. I get it.
Yeah. It's kooky.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, it's kooky. That's going to be our word of the day.
The other thing that I really love is the end of that scene when Maya's just like...
I love you, I put you a lot of work.
Yeah, that's what it is. And then she, like, prances off.
And makes fun of Riley.
I guess it's just... Because Maya is just, like, most of the time so, like, cool and above all this drama. And, like, doesn't obsess about boys, doesn't freak out about being popular. And is just like, yep, I'm cool.
Well, I don't know. She has that aloof thing.
Yeah.
But she's also dancing in the hallway an awful lot. And she's sort of, like, self-indulgent.
I have zero issue with the dancing in the hallway this episode.
I'm not saying I have an issue. I'm just saying you're, like, making it look just like, I'm too cool. I'm looking at you, you're brooding in the corner, but she's not like that. I mean, she has moments, but she's mostly engaged.
She's not sure.
She's mostly engaged.
No, but I don't think you get what I'm saying.
No, exactly. I know what she's saying. You're above the whole, like, oh my god, she likes me.
My point is, the dancing has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. It's just her having fun. I'm talking about she doesn't freak out and obsess over and worry about the little things that most people are in these kinds of fields.
Yeah, I would say for the most part, that's the case thus far. Well, that's the whole thing, which you have... I try not to worry about the small things. Yeah. Like, really, that's all I do.
Yeah, exactly.
Which episode? Was that the second episode?
That was Sneak Attack?
Oh, yeah, that's Sneak Attack.
Okay, yeah.
They're in the cafeteria.
We should talk about the big difference between how, sort of, the invitation things, the reactions between Boy Meets World and Girl Meets World, because Sean is, like, sort of upset about it, and Corey's like, what? How did you not get an invitation? This is crazy. Whereas... Maya, I guess this seems to be like, whatever, and Riley's like...
Just goes with it.
Yeah, she's
super happy, which I thought she should at least be a little confused, because they were talking about, A, how Maya's just, you know, so cool, and B, like, you know, what Maya's gonna do at the party, and even Maya comments on that. So they were expecting Maya to go to this party.
I will at least say that, like, the fact that Maya doesn't seem to care makes it so I'm not as, like, I don't really mind that Riley didn't react, but...
Just a difference.
movie. Do we want to move into...
Well, let's take a moment to talk about the fact that it was a carbon copy scene in a lot of ways.
Totally.
And you guys want to talk about how you feel about those kind of setups in general.
Yeah, do we want sort of the Riley version of things that have taken place before?
Like scene-for-scene type things.
Or yeah, like, are there certain episodes you'd like to see redone or told from this new perspective?
Just us, but let us know if there's anything that you would like to see as well.
Or if you have an issue with them sort of recycling things. I personally, if it's like this, don't. I think they did it well. I think it could become problematic if the writer, who's the same writer, uses the same stories over and over again, but... So far, it seemed good to me.
So far, the beginning was, I think, that...
But the beginning is what was actually recycled.
Right. Yeah, everything else was, except for, like, that actual footage, weird footage from Boy Meets World, nothing was recycled.
More on that later.
Yeah.
But, no, I don't really have an issue with it. If they do it too often, then it's kind of like, what is this show exactly? Is it just a literal girl version, gender-bent version of Boy Meets World, or is it Riley's world?
Kind of like Pirates of the Caribbean 2, where, like, almost all the scenes were legit scene for scene from the first movie, but, like, in a slightly different place.
And the thing is, even if it was, like, just the same thing again, there are so few shows that are like that show on nowadays that I would be happy for the kids if it was exactly the same, but
it's just an outlet for that.
Yeah.
Their own twist on it. Not just that she's a female, but she's a different person.
Obviously, it would become less exciting for us having already seen Boy Meets World if it was like every
episode
was
a copy.
But
we have a lot to talk about parallel wise on this podcast, so maybe it's a win-win.
All right. So, scene two starts off with the moment that we laughed so hard we had to pause the episode.
This is a true statement. The scene starts off with Riley. She's in the classroom and she, like, slams on Corey's desk and she's like, bam, or something like that.
She's saying bam.
I don't know, but she's just like, look at this. And Corey's like,
look at me, boy. You listen here.
And she's like, Corey's like, oh, you got invited to a party? And she's like, yeah, so much for genetics, baby. That line is absolute gold.
So good.
And he looks at the invitation and he's like, oh, 7th grade party. No, I didn't get invited to a lot of those, which is a reference to this episode because, well, we'll get...
The Boy Meets World. Well, I mean, we can just say that the overarching idea of this episode is that he's invited to, like, a trick party where he ends up just being with all the nerds, so it's, like,
nerd
not really
party.
Being invited.
Well, it wasn't quite a trick, as they didn't know, because the girl who set up the party didn't know what was going to happen.
So, the girl wanted to invite everyone to the party. Her parents nixed all the cool guys. When the cool guys didn't show up, the girls didn't show up. And when the girls didn't show up, the regular guys didn't show up. And then all you had left was the nerds.
The parentally accepted boys.
Parentally acceptable.
Yeah. I will say that... So the scene that we were talking about in Girl Meets World... The humor is so good that I'm willing to look over the fact that it's completely ridiculous that they're having this conversation in class.
I'd be willing to do that, except things like this that are just their regular life keep happening in class, and they're just in Corey's class.
Well, I like how they took control. And they were like, sit down.
Maya approaches the bench, which everyone is very accepting to this, and Corey is all like, she can't go to this party if you're going to this party because you're a troublemaker, and why would I want her at a party that you would be at, like, in your crowd? So they're kind of taking over the class, and Maya... lets Corey know that she's not even going to the party, and thus there's their loophole, and Riley gets to go.
So, I will say also that it's, like, again, I'll get over it, but I don't understand why this scene couldn't have just taken place in the apartment, because literally, there's no reason. Like, she could have come home from school that day, shown her dad the thing, Maya could have come with her, they could have had that exact same exchange, and it would...
Here's my thing. I usually do have a problem with them interrupting class, but in this particular scene, I liked it.
I liked
for
when
the reason they were taking over the class in a humorous way.
And they were taking on the world.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. I think I would also have less of an issue, and maybe they did do this, and I can't remember, but if like, everybody was slowly, like, coming into the class, like, the beginning of class before it actually started, and, like, people were, like, getting their books out
and
walking in.
And that's when the interaction began.
Yeah. Like, so she,
like talk to her dad before class started.
I'm not sure, but I totally agree with you on that point. Yeah.
But
then the Damocles.
So Damocles. Did you guys know this before? It mostly taught me something. So once I heard it, I've heard this before.
Yeah, but Dan and I looked it up when we heard about Damocles on the show.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool that they like actually brought up something that connects, and
we were taught.
I actually learned something.
Oh, and Dan actually learned about something new today in the Boy Meets World episode too. The Pony Express.
Never heard of it before.
This is ridiculous. American history, everyone.
Dan's not a very good cowboy.
Damocles.
Damocles.
So anyways, so the story of Damocles, I really enjoyed the connection. I thought it was nice. I thought it was over the top.
So I guess the idea, Maya kind of boils down to, like, be careful what you wish for kind of idea.
But it's more, don't be so trusting when offered opportunities.
Yes.
We also sort of took, with great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah, if you look at the actual story, it does have that message too, that like, if you're in a role model position sort of, or some kind of leadership role, you kind of need to know what that means.
Yeah. You're going to be targeted. Well, even if you take it as like a celebrity, like, if you're a celebrity, you have all this power or whatever, but you are a target for tons of people to ridicule.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of the idea.
I totally get that. Let us know if you have a different interpretation of the story. I think that's fun to hear.
We didn't get to hear Captain America talk about God in this scene, so...
What?
Don't talk about Lucas.
Oh.
More of a guy. Well, because he always raises his hands in these classroom scenes, but he wasn't here this time.
Yeah, I knew, to be honest, I'm trying not to hit on Lucas too much, because it has been getting better.
I thought you said hit on.
Yeah.
I'm trying really hard not to hit on Lucas.
Absolutely. What was the thing Corey said?
You're really attractive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, you're
okay,
really attractive.
I just think the absence of Lucas added a little bit more believability to the show, because Lucas, for the most part, will kind of, like, swoop in and, like, say this very, like, narrate-y type thing that just doesn't make sense for his character to say.
He has, like, a super strong and cliche moral compass.
Yeah. And the problem is I feel like he gets in the way of the mischief.
Mm.
I feel like it's more down-to-earth without him. It felt... The beginning of this episode without him felt a lot closer to me to the original... couple seasons.
And we should also mention that the Boy Meets World episode we're talking about has no Topanga in it.
Right. Yeah, so the love interests are like being ripped out.
I think that it would really help if we, I don't know when this is happening, but we need a Lucas-centric episode, to be honest. Like, that's necessary in order to further him, because we need for his moral compass to be challenged, or for him to somehow get into
the
mischief.
Or to even be explained.
Yeah, something like that. We
need like his family
a little bit more.
Really family oriented, and therefore he gets a lot of his values that way, or anything like that.
Also, this is a little bit off topic, but you mentioned people's families, and that just reminded me that since we know that Maya has her father has another family, that's completely set up for a Jack 2.0
later
seasons. So, what's the next scene?
The next scene is when Topanga brings Augie into the bakery.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so now enters the bakery owner, and look, I mean, honestly, she's a pretty racist portrayal. If you disagree and you have a solid argument, I'd love to hear it. I don't have as much of an issue with it. I'm just like, that's just kind of like a asterisk on this episode, in a way.
It was definitely one of the things that brought the episode down, and the fact that it's 2014, I think we could be a little more clever in our writing.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't just racist, it was like really basic stuff. They didn't even like...
I mean, I honestly found the character likable and sweet, and I liked the setting, we got a new location. I thought she and Augie had a nice little interchange.
Some of it did not bother me.
One thing you did like in the scene,
Keith, the iffy thing that I actually did like was the joke that she tells Augie that he is always asking to hear, even though he knows it, is this the Ukrainian bakery?
Yeah.
And she says, no, this is my Ukrainian bakery. Which I think that's like one of those like little zingy
one-liner
fun.
That's just wordplay. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
So we should also mention Cloris Leachman played this character, who is a very famous actress that none of us really know what she's from.
But yet I kind of knew her face.
Well, we were trying to figure out who she was when everybody was like wooing. Yeah.
She reminded me of Phyllis Diller in the werewolf episode of Boy Meets World.
See, now I've seen her in two things, but they're not like what she's known for. I know she played like a stunt cast role on The Office when they had like a fake movie that had Jack Black in it, and he was like this weird creepy woman in it. Jack Black was like in love with her. It's really weird. And then I've also saw her on Raising Hope, where she plays like the mom with dementia.
Did she raise some hope?
I guess so.
Yeah. All right, that's nice. And
Hope is the name of the daughter. So
okay,
yay for pun titles.
Raised some of her daughter.
Well, it's actually her granddaughter. But anyway, yeah. I mean, I think she did fine with the role. She wasn't like, you know, struggling or anything. It's just a very basic role. I think that the idea here for Topanga, you know, sort of struggling with her morals here and her law firm, I applaud them to finally really go into detail about her work and for giving Topanga her own storyline. I think it could have been handled a little bit better.
We find out she's a civil court lawyer or a business lawyer. Yeah. No, business lawyer. My apologies.
She's a shark.
Yeah, so she tries to, you know, get money for her company and everything. And
yeah,
what a jerk.
I mean, to be honest, it makes sense just then that she has multiple kids and her husband's a teacher, and if you want to, you know, take care of your kids, then
you gotta be a jerk.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah, with business law at least.
Okay, so is there anything else we want to say about I love Augie in the scene. I love the pinch my cheeks and then he like keeps doing it too long. I thought that was really funny and cute. Yeah. I love Augie. Yeah, I'm a really good when Augie isn't the central part of a storyline, I'm just like, you're the best person.
So then the next scene is Corey and Maya are escorting Riley to her party.
In the hallway.
Yeah, they're okay, like so in the hallway of an apartment.
That comes the first sort of iffy thing. The fact that Maya, like, kind of knows what's going on, that Riley's being tricked and sort of, like, lets her friend get into this spot and is, like, kind of excited to watch her crash and burn is kind of weird. I guess you could understand it in that, like, Riley was getting, like, too big for her britches and, like...
that's strange setting aside. I think what is, she had suspicions, and she knew that Riley was spinning out of control and just sort of, like, snowballing, you know?
Yeah.
And so she's like, we need to just stop and just, I'm gonna stand back and just let this play out. Let's see what happens, little girl. You know?
Yeah. I just think it seemed a little odd. I'm not like, this is terrible. Blah.
I know you guys were saying that she was like kind of being mean.
Well, yeah, I see both sides of the argument, but I do think that if you look at it, it's a little mean. Like, it's not like intense, but I mean, Riley did look upset.
It's kind of tough love.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. It was her saying, like, you need to learn this lesson pretty quickly.
Okay, so they weren't babying her, but I think it could have just been dealt with.
Okay, but also...
It's okay. Yeah.
How did she know? Did she know that the hipster boy was fake?
No, I think she probably... Something must have tipped her off, and she must have, like, maybe asked around about who was going and who wasn't going.
Because she wasn't invited, it couldn't be cool.
Yeah, because if you're cool... Wherever you go is the cool part. Yeah.
So,
a cool thing to say.
Oh, and I really liked, again, the hipster guy comes in, he, like, does the funny thing, and then Riley's, like, doing this, like, weird...
She's, like, trying to be sup, bro.
Yeah,
she does, like, a weird badly. Joke.
Rowan is, like, really good at physical comedy.
She's adorbs.
Yeah.
Adorbs.
Yeah. And she has enough variety, too. Like, you'd think that her flailing about would become repetitive, but it isn't.
she has a lovely flailing repertoire.
Rowan, you keep flailing, girl.
She's only 12. Imagine how many different ways she'll flail in a few years.
The whole world lies ahead in which to flail.
Okay, so also Corey coming up to the apartment, it's totally believable, and I have no issue with it, but I just want to let everyone know he's a helicopter parent,
That's exactly what he would be, because he's neurotic.
Yeah,
he is. Yeah. It's just so intense, and then he's like, you can only stay for a half hour. When he went to his first girl-boy party...
5 hours.
Yeah, his dad was like, I'll pick you up in 5 hours.
Well, that was... Yeah. before he left.
We're exaggerating.
Before he even got arrested.
I'm just saying.
But either way.
He got to stay more than a half hour.
Yeah. But when Farkle opens the door, and you find out that there's been a bamboozling.
It's a geek finding.
Which is the exact line reference to Boy Meets World.
When he walks in on the party, and he's like, I'm the coolest guy here. And then he's like, oh no,
I'm the coolest guy here.
And it focuses in on him, and there's a weird effect on his voice.
He has like an echo. It's like,
yeah, it's hilarious.
It's kind of similar to what happened with Farkle last week with the, ooh.
I sort of get that, yeah.
Let's
and then
off.
He screams, and he screams that it's a geek party.
Yeah. So Riley, the next scene is just right there, right? So we're in the house.
They walk into this room, and at first I thought it was like a bedroom, which I was really confused about because they're coming from an apartment hallway. And it just kind of looks almost like the Big Bang Theory set, the way it's decorated.
So this sort of brings up a thing that we thought was going to be a much bigger sort of points that we're going to talk about during this podcast, which is that, like, seeing the promos for this episode, we thought our biggest issue probably was going to be the representation of, like, geeky people.
Nerd culture.
And, you know, the whole thing that personally I have issues with, like, stuff like Big Bang Theory because it completely stereotypes people who are intelligent, people who like anything sci-fi or anything, just completely makes them, like, socially inept and
it doesn't even do it particularly well either, regardless of any stereotype. It's sort of, they're just doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, it's very easy, and it gives people weird perceptions.
We were worried because, even in this book, okay, so we should say that I personally have some issues with the Boy Meets World episode, just in the fact that the only nerds are boys.
Yeah,
they're all incredibly stereotypical and, like, don't know how to interact with people, and wearing these silly outfits and having...
And they're like...
They're hipsters.
Yeah. And, yeah, so, I mean, I'm not a big fan of that.
And they, like, run after the girl, a girl when
she's
appears.
Not for you.
Yeah, and then, and, like, crowd her way too much, and it's like they've never seen a girl before, which is pretty ridiculous. Yeah.
And it's just, like, to be honest, like, personally speaking, I was pretty much never bullied throughout most of school, but I honestly feel bullied by the media, just in that growing up as someone who, you know, was intelligent and liked school and liked geeky things, I guess, like, always felt like I was, like, on the precipice of being made fun of by everyone.
The precipice.
Like, just because that's, like, literally everything tells you that's gonna happen. And it's annoying.
I totally understand. And in Boy Meets World, he does get kind of bullied a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, the girls in the episode are, like, snobby to him. He doesn't exactly get called, like, oh, you're such a loser.
You're such a loser. Oh, my God, I can't believe you're even here.
So, okay, I guess the point I wanted to say is that I don't think that we have as many issues with the way Girl Meets World is represented as we thought we were going to.
It's a whole
because it goes off in a different sort of tangent.
We definitely could have dwelled on it. Yeah. I don't think that it made us need to focus in on that point too much, because there were some problems, but overall it skimmed it and jumped right off into something else.
So we have this scene right here has two really over-the-top geeky things, but I thought they were both pretty funny, so I'm kind of okay with it.
I think that at this point we're still doing okay. We're starting to hit some road bumps.
Well,
but we're still doing okay. There's a little bit of turbulence.
So
I personally kind of
liked when they offered her the carrots and the broccoli, and she took the broccoli, and that was like she won the test by being
wise. That
was
just I think it was funny because it was it was like that super awkward, like almost like a Michael Cera moment.
Yeah.
I think the really weird thing is, like, she's funny or whatever, she's really smart, she should be our queen.
Yeah.
Who says that?
I think that, to me, there's two little highway exit signs on this episode.
Yeah.
That's the first one.
Yeah.
And the second one is the mirror scene.
Well, also,
that start to take this episode for a turn for the worse.
We'll get to the mirror scene in a second, but just... I want to know other people, because I honestly don't know, I haven't made up my mind yet, whether Riley's reaction to this bamboozling makes sense.
A hoodwink.
Yeah, because
she's upset
for like half a second, and then everybody likes her so much,
that she's not really mad at that she was tricked, that she isn't she's not sad that she's not actually popular, or even if she is, he immediately switches over to, okay, I'll just be the king of these people. Yeah. And I don't know if that makes a lot of sense to me, I feel like she just, at least it happened so quickly, that it feels weird to me that she didn't. She wasn't more depressed.
Like, she didn't deliberate before immediately embracing it.
My thing is, I don't think we get enough of actually what Riley thinks in this episode. We don't get any personal reflection until the very end, and that's kind of confusing.
Yeah, we get what Riley does, but we don't get what Riley thinks.
Yeah. About what she's
doing. Well, also, like, Corey's reaction... So the same thing pretty much happened to Corey, and Corey's reaction is believable and real. The fact that he feels bummed, that he's like, I'm a geek, I'm Sean won't want to be with me anymore. That realization, like, hurts him.
Yeah.
And it's sort of, in a very small way, dramatic. And I feel like with Riley, she immediately flips the switch, isn't mad for being tricked by her friend, Farkle.
I don't know. I feel like that's totally in Farkle's character to be manipulative, and I'm still on the fence if they're like legit friends.
Yeah.
More so, she's tricked by Maya a little.
Yeah. Well, I guess some degree, but I also don't think it's completely ridiculous that she has this reaction. That I can sort of understand her being like, oh, like I
have people
care about me. I feel good about myself that people like me because they're the only ones that do.
That's just not true because she already has a best friend.
Yeah, I know. To me, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense that she sort of gives up Maya for them.
Also, can I just say that I would never really pick Riley to be the geeky girl? Like, okay, so she likes school and she's good at school. But that's, like, the only thing that really connects here, because...
That and that she's, like, really socially awkward and dorky.
The quirkiness,
and neurotic.
She's just kind of an average girl, but she's really pretty, I think, and, like, she dresses really well, and, like, she looks put together. She doesn't dress dorky or anything, or, like...
I think it sort of makes sense that she would be the queen of the dorks.
It's just iffy.
Yeah, it's also sort of reminiscent of the other episode we were going to talk about with Boy Meets World, which is Corey's alternative friends, where he sort of becomes, for, like, half a second, their leader.
The little general.
Because he is... In between,
he's able to bridge the gap.
Because he's sort of geeky, but also the normal person.
Right.
But we should move on. Yes.
Oh, and do you want to say the two things you liked about this? The lightsaber.
Oh yeah, the Damocles. So we mentioned a few times the Damocles lightsaber falling down.
So in the story of Damocles, Damocles is sitting on the throne, but right above him is a sword hanging on by just a horse
hair.
Thread.
Yeah.
And when Riley's at the party, a lightsaber is precariously above her head and drops down a bit, and she right above her head, and it's just a focus on her, and she's just like, Damocles.
I also liked, even though that they say we come in peace is like ridiculous and over the top, I liked her response. So you actually came in two pieces. Actually, we didn't even talk about the fact two people were in the hipster guy.
That was the
first serious blow to the quality of the episode.
I kind of like it.
In retrospect, it wasn't that bad. Yeah. But that was for me the first serious blow to my. Saying,
I thought
is an awesome episode. Yeah. And at that point, I'm like, what's happening?
Yeah. I thought what they could have done to make that make more sense and make it a little less surreal.
I kind of liked how cheesy it was.
Let me just say, I think they could have just made it that, like, they paid the hipster boy to give out the invitation.
What even made him a hipster?
He had a scarf and a hat. But anyway, so I think we should get into the Topanga. Thing.
Yeah, so Topanga
becomes Norman Osborn in Spider-Man 1.
Oh my god. Topanga's having some issues. She's struggling with the fact that she's in a position where her law firm, though she's not on the case, is going to shut down this family bakery that is in her neighborhood.
Thank God it's not a pudding shop.
Oh my god, the pudding shop. Maybe
they'll change it to a pudding shop later.
Corey's going to have some influence now, after all.
A pudding truck.
So, I don't get it.
Yeah, so she starts talking to old Topanga. Thing? Yeah, so she's looking in the mirror, and she sees old Topanga, and First of all, I feel like they could have done a much better job with this because it's so obviously current Danielle Fischel talking to herself, which makes her seem insane. It makes her look a little insane.
So I just want to start off by saying the idea of her reconnecting with her old self
is pretty cool.
A good idea that I liked. Especially because she's someone that even on Boy Meets World, they kind of let go of that part of her. So I like that she's reconnecting with that and how it coincides with Riley's storyline, especially in that scene that we like later. But it was really, really fast and awkward. Is not something that would happen in real life at all unless you were mentally ill.
And cheesy fan service to people like us.
Yeah, the biggest thing is, so she's in the mirror. She's talking to the mirror. It's her young self. The young self talked back.
She's giving her advice on how to deal with the situation.
Then Corey comes in and, like, comes up to her as if he can see what she's seeing in the mirror. And then looking into the mirror, seeing them together, and we get the weird...
Personally,
edit in the old stock footage.
See, I feel like that could have worked, and I don't have as much of an issue with it as you do. My biggest question is why didn't they just make this a dream sequence?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And also, I think from that episode that they took that footage from, there's a much better scene where Topanga is actually talking about the environment and talking about, like, the world and how she thinks people are beautiful. And instead, they just show this cute little moment between Corey and Topanga.
Well, it was like, no, I think it was, like, really...
The moment they do... That does connect back to a statement she makes later.
Yes,
and
but,
that
like...
she says that, like, that was the person that, like, got your father to fall in love with me. That was the person that was me at my purest.
Right, and I think that the problem is that itself, that is part of fan service.
Yeah.
If it was really about her connecting to her old self, it would have connected to her channeling the ancient Egyptian philosopher who first solved this math problem.
Or her, like, humpbacked whale.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
or
all that.
Something that was actually purely
lipstick her. All over her face.
Yeah, I feel like I might have also sort of preferred if it maybe didn't have any dialogue. I can picture a version of the scene which maybe is a little too, like, filmy for the show, but, like, her just, like, looking in the mirror at her normal self for a second in the business suit for a while, and then sort of a montage of her with no words of a couple different scenes of her younger.
As if she was daydreaming.
Yeah, as if she was thinking about who she used to be.
Yeah.
And then end with her seeing her old self.
And maybe even a smile.
And then maybe she smiles, and that's the end of the scene.
That's the difference between a daydream and a mental breakdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that, Dan.
They pulled an old trick, which is having Augie...
A bamboozle.
Having Augie say, like, reference it and make fun of it by saying, oh, mommy talks to herself in the mirror or something.
Yeah.
I did get me. That is an easy trick to just be like, oh, we're going to explain
it as a cheap laugh.
Yeah, it's sort of cheap, but I did think it was funny, and it did help it a little bit for me. But
yeah,
anyway, let's move on from this.
But the next scene starts off with Maya doesn't know where Riley is because they didn't do their usual thing by going to school together, and she didn't see her in the hallways, and she's like, Farkle, what did you do with my girl?
I like this.
I love that, because just, Maya, you love Riley so much. But anyways, and then Riley's like, Maya, release the Farkle, which was kind of weird, because I thought it was like, release him, like,
the Kraken. Release the Kraken.
Yeah. And then she comes in, and she's a Harajuku girl.
Can I just pause you for 1 second?
Sure.
Before we actually get into the Harajuku girl. I just wanted to say, this is as far as Farkle, and it's just one quick thing, is just, I did not like him in this episode.
Gross.
And I really feel like they need to go back to how he was in, like, Girl Meets Boy. We need more moments showing us his redeeming qualities and not just that he's this creepy... Okay. I think they can do it. They can redeem him for me personally. I think if they give him a few scenes where he actually cares about people, where he isn't only obsessing about the girls, if we give him some vulnerability, we give him something, some sort of goal that's separate from them, I'm glad Minkus is in the next episode, because hopefully that means that he'll have some sort of storyline that doesn't have to do with Riley.
I see your point of view.
Yeah, I think that should just be all we say about Farkle and move on.
Alright.
But Harajuku girl.
Yeah, now we've got a Harajuku girl. And when we saw the promos, we kind of thought it was a joke.
We thought that was a one-liner.
A good
singer.
Yeah.
That would have been good.
Yeah, because Riley's like, I know my true self now, and Maya's like a Harajuku girl, like, not really what you're doing, but you look like that, and like, no, that's like literally what she's going for, yeah. And I'm trying to figure out why, because there's no hint to like Riley was into this before, and
I'm also, can we just start off by saying, how many people who watch Disney knew what a Harajuku girl was?
Yeah, that's like kind of
an older... I didn't know what it was.
That's an older reference, too. They were popular when I was younger, when I was in middle school.
Didn't they have a resurgence that we don't know about?
They're still popular in the right circles, but...
Yeah,
it's not exactly a super
mainstream... Is this the right circle?
No, it's not a mainstream thing.
Yeah,
and the biggest thing is that the nerds, quote-unquote, were not into that. She was into that. What is the connection between that... and being nerds. A nerd. What is it when you say, oh, I'm going to dress like a nerd? Oh, I know. I'm going to get super into this obscure Japanese fashion, this pop fashion, which is actually...
They're also a band, and there's a...
There's a name of a band that's that.
Japanese cultural fashion statement, it's like, isn't it like, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like goth or emo. It's like,
yeah,
it's like a style.
It's like,
oh, okay,
it's
yeah,
like,
I see
a,
what
it's almost, it's like goth and emo, but it's like,
yeah.
It's the opposite of that. It's like super bubblegum pop.
Yeah, I'm not saying
yeah.
It's the same
yeah.
type of thing.
Right,
it's like,
same genre.
Same, yeah,
it's,
yeah.
Fitting
it's,
you
genre.
In a, it's fitting you in a sort
yeah.
of box.
So I don't know about this, but I to me, if she wanted to be queen of the nerds, she should have like dressed up as Princess Leia or something. I
totally get that.
Yeah, wouldn't that have like made sense?
It would have sucked.
Well,
but it would have made sense.
Well, here's how I think that could have made sense: is Riley had no idea what she was doing, but she wanted to somehow embrace this,
yeah.
So she did some like weird research on her own.
No, but she didn't
what?
Know what it was.
Yeah,
that was the other part that didn't make
literally
any sense.
Know that she didn't
he,
know what
she,
it was.
She has to find it, and she does because she doesn't know what it is.
So where'd she find the fashion?
So, did she just dress up like? Is it supposed to be that she isn't actually trying for that, and that she accidentally became a Harajuku?
Well, that's what I thought
no,
at first,
said,
but then
I'm
we
a
yeah,
girl.
And that's what she said at first, but then at like the second and third time she appears like that, it's like there are clues that like that's exactly what she's trying to do, and
yeah.
they're making reference to the exact same thing.
So I don't. It just seems really
it's arbitrary.
Yeah, it seems like out of nowhere. It seems like they wanted a visual gag. And the visual, like, didn't really bother me. And she looked kind of adorable in some of like, I like the second outfit. But, like,
the last one also looked particularly the actual Harajuku. Like,
oh, okay.
Yeah,
outfits.
The last one was
yeah.
really cool.
So,
but it was just over the top
it
also.
Just, and also, if you wanted to do this Harajuku girl thing, even in the same theme, just take the geeks out and have a bunch of girls who are Harajuku girls. And she wants to be cool like them. She thinks
right.
they're cool and she falls in with them or something
that
like that.
That would have made a lot
yeah,
more
like,
sense.
I don't. I just don't get it. Okay, so but then we have this interaction where Maya's not happy about it because Riley's not being who
also,
he is. And
can I just say a quick point? Is
yeah.
that so? Riley's clothes are getting like more and more ridiculous in this episode,
yeah.
and I just want to make a small quick note that Maya's wearing like a just a sweatshirt, like a normal sweatshirt.
Yeah. Well,
and
it is kind of like bedazzly, but it's much more believable.
Yeah, I like
yeah.
it.
Yeah, no, but she's like super toned down from
yeah.
what we were talking about in the earlier episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's definitely also... Maya is currently the one who's, like, less girly-girl outfits. Like,
mm-hmm.
I feel like we've definitely seen Maya in jeans a few times now. I can't remember if we've ever seen Riley not in a dress. But...
One time, but it was still a girly outfit.
Yeah. Oh, I really liked her last week with the pink sweater thing she had.
Yeah, that's true.
So then we have this interaction. Maya's not happy. Corey isn't happy at first, but then he realizes that the geeks are like,
oh, no, hey, she's gonna study, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and they're like harmless boys that are scared of girls, which I'm not.
It's also an interesting thing.
I just think that scene was. That's one of the scenes where, like, if we were gonna talk about what could be eliminated.
Yeah.
That's one of the scenes that could have been seriously trimmed.
Also, the nerds are sitting in the back of the room, which I also think is silly because it breaks a stereotype that nerds sit in the front of the room and they're like,
they're
well,
scared. They don't want to be in the way of the camera. I don't know.
They're
so,
scared of the true. Girls in the front.
Okay.
They can't block the perfect shot of the glam girls.
All right. The next scene is
back.
More Topanga.
Yeah, okay, so this is the scene that you guys had more issues with as far as the racial stuff.
It was like a really blunt joke
mm-hmm.
that I think was...
They made a joke about how Ukraine doesn't have a lot of food.
Well, no, it was
standing
it?
In the line to
yeah.
get the food.
It was 100 bottles of beer on the wall, whatever song.
But 100 people standing in the line to get the bread.
Yeah.
And then one person gets the bread, and oh, that's all the food we have for the year is one loaf of bread.
So, okay, I'm gonna play devil's advocate here, and we're not, let's not have a huge battle about this, but
what
if you're going to try to stand up for the racial insensitivity here, I guess you could say that she, because to me it came off as though she was making like a dark joke, like a bitter joke, because she was angry at this lawyer, who she also mentioned the lawyer is this, is that.
Oh, actor. Yeah, so the lawyer is the same actor, but not the same character from Boy Meets World, Leonard Spinelli, who played.
Which is the character's name.
Yeah, Leonard Spinelli is the character's name.
The original Boy Meets World character.
And he is the employee of Corey's father, who is a grocer, and he works at the grocery store with Corey's father.
Well, he's the assistant manager.
He's also Mozzie from White Collar, if that helps you recognize him.
And I'd like to see him again. I think he could be
a good, I think it would make a lot of sense to see him again.
Yeah, I think he could be a good, I think he did a pretty good job.
Well, one of the things that happened in Boy Meets World is he was in the early seasons as assistant manager, and then he would come back from time to time as various random guys. Like, he was a customer at the Wilderness Store,
then
he was an applicant at the Wilderness Store.
That's, like, particularly weird. Because, like, they left the grocery store to do that.
No, but he was a completely different character. He was just random guy.
So that's what I'm saying. That's really weird.
Yeah. I think he just was hanging around said, like, hey, want a job? Hey, banana boy.
But anyway, as far as the racial thing, like, to me, it was like she was making a joke about her own race in, like, a bitter way because she was annoyed with this guy and wanted him. So, like, it's, I don't know.
I didn't get that. I think it was in show, you know. It was, they were using the character to get, like, a cheap, I guess it was a cheap laugh, but it was, like, it was a weird thing to say. Even if it wasn't racist, I still think it was a really weird thing for her to start singing there out of nowhere.
I want to acknowledge that Boy Meets World did this all the time. It has been quite a bit since Boy Meets World was on, so hopefully
we kind of wish that we would have. I totally understand that.
It's been 20 years.
Yeah, whatever. But this is a show legit building off of Boy Meets World, and you think this would be one of the things that we could build off of just as people?
I will say, can you think of any particular instances from Boy Meets World that had those
that
kind
had
of characters?
Stuff like that?
Just anything on the top of
your head? God.
Well, the racism towards gypsies.
Is that actually a thing? I don't know.
Yeah. That is an actual culture in people.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, is that a thing that they did in the show?
Yeah, with Phyllis Diller. Okay. In the I'm so sorry, I misunderstood
you. No, you know, because the difference between that is she was, like, not
like actually Romanians.
Yeah, no, but the difference is that that kind of broke the fourth wall in a different way, where she was, like, pretending. Because she would be like,
sounds like the haircut guy in Hair Today, Goon Tomorrow.
Yeah, see, that's it. It's different. Yeah. I think it's much more legitimate, because that's like, there's a role that you're playing, and then you're saying, oh, wait a minute, this is ridiculous, she's just pretending.
There are a bunch. It's been a while. I'd have to go look again.
But, yeah, because also there's the Mountain People, too, in Boy Meets World. And, Lonnie and her brother.
Yeah.
Zico.
There's a lot of, like, funny accents, and people are funny because of their accents, and
yeah,
a moose can't be a ranger.
Or actually, here's an example. I don't know if you'd consider this racist. I feel like this is, there's a lot to dissect in this particular instance, so I'm not going to say
it's outright. Let's get out our scalpels.
I'm not going to say this is
Let's outright. Get out our scapulas.
I'm not going to say this is outright bad, because I feel like it would take time and a lot of critical thought to talk about this. But there's the episode where Eric takes over from Mr. Feeny and is teaching the group of people of multiple ethnicities about U.S. citizenship, and they're all pretty
stereotyped
by the book.
Stereotyped.
It's also sort of oddly nationalistic, but it also kind of has a positive, nice message, so it is a complicated thing.
I didn't get a super nationalistic, I mean, obviously there have to be undertones, because, that's what it is about, but I think much more outweighing any nationalistic tendencies of that scene that you're talking about, it was more about the pride of teaching something, of being this sort of, like, guiding force in people's lives and is making their lives better somehow.
Anyway, before we move on from the scene, we didn't say anything about how Topanga came in with her old outfit and acted in her old way.
I love the crimped hair, by the way. As a girl who grew up in the 90s, that's amazing, because crimped hair was cool. Not even
pretty much looks gross and looks like you burned all your follicles to death.
I'm just... Keith, that was in.
See, I'm not a fan of the hairstyle, but I
mean, you're not a fan of the hairstyle. Yeah, no, if I see people like that,
but what,
like,
actually, what I did like is that they made it a lot less glam. They literally made it like she just did it to herself, because it was kind of messy and it wasn't perfectly done. Like, they obviously did that to her hair when she was younger, but they made it more professional. And this one, they made it look like she just hardly did it to herself in order to go there.
Yeah, and I will say, as far as, like, so we, I know a lot of people probably got nostalgia and enjoyed the stuff with the mirror. I enjoyed this particular scene. I enjoyed her in this outfit.
She started meditating.
Yeah. The actual outfit and the way that she was trying to be more of her old self.
Yeah.
I appreciated
it. Topanga's outfit was good. Augie was just, like, a costume, and I think it was more like, I want to dress like Mommy, and, like...
I just think it was...
I don't think Topanga would have dressed in that way, but...
It was for a visual laugh. I think that was too far.
I think it was a visual for the younger audience to get what Topanga was doing, if that makes sense.
I guess.
So then Topanga's meditating, and she has this moment where she says, I think there should be a bakery where it reflects an actual culture and people sit and talk. And there's this friendliness, and it gives it a quaint neighborhood feel in a big city. And the lawyer makes fun of her, calls her Aquarius, and like tells her...
Which I like that.
That was kind of funny. And tells her to be a good hippie and get his shark lawyer back on track for the firm, and that's how that ends.
And then we get into a really quick classroom scene where pretty much not that much happens again. It just
shows another Harajuku girl outfit, basically.
Kind of just reaffirms that Riley is stuck in this Harajuku phase. So then we go to her bedroom, and Maya comes in the room, and Fargo's there.
And Maya's like, alright.
they do battle.
And so Maya's like, Farkle! And she drags him down. It's actually really intense, and I love it.
And somehow, again, it doesn't really make sense to me that she kind of just picks the nerds over Maya. I guess there's
for
more
no
of
reason.
Her.
Yeah,
I mean, Maya's like, I need you back. Like, what's going on? Yeah. And like, you're my best friend, and I feel abandoned.
Yeah, what sucks the most is that Riley, as a character, was doing so awesome at the
and
beginning.
And then she's pretty empty in the rest of
what
it.
Just as a storytelling standpoint, so for like three scenes in a row-ish, not in a row, for Maya's character, she has the same goal, and that is to get Riley to stop doing this. Mm-hmm. And something you learn in screenwriting is that you want to change the character's tactic in acquiring their goal. So like, if I want to get a pen from Caitlin, I don't just say, give me the pen, give me the pen, give me the pen, because that's boring.
Give me the pen, I'll give you a cookie.
Yeah.
Me the pen, and I'll...
Give me a pen, or I'll stab you in the face.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's violent.
So
that's the order you go.
Yeah.
That gets an explanation point.
You have to build to that.
Yeah. So, Maya basically is just like, do this, why are you doing this? They're stupid. Like, and I guess she at least fails to attacking Farkle, I'll give you that. But then Farkle's literally just like, oh, be in the spelling bee, and he wins. And I do like the end of this scene where she's like, what about me? And then they both
really,
pull
I thought
her
that
down.
Was super weird.
I thought it was pretty funny.
I thought it was kind of cheesy, the whole like fight scene. It did feel very like almost Drake and Josh to me.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But I did think it was slightly redeeming at the end, which is like, what about me? Because it was just really funny. It was like a funny like almost breaking the fourth wall thing, where it's like, hey, we're ridiculous. Yeah. Let's just be ridiculous.
Yeah, it was like clearly aiming to be over the top.
Yes.
Because the sounds, like, it sounded like they were destroying them.
And they're banging against the, like, floor and everything.
Yeah. Okay, so, but then we get into my favorite scene in the second half, which is that, basically, so Corey and Augie are off being little chorus members commenting
about
that.
They're the peanut gallery.
They're pretty funny.
They're the grape gallery. Yeah.
And so they have this great moment where Topanga and Riley walk past each other, and they sort of slowly
how you doing? How you doing? And they're like, oh, what's going on? And they face each other. And Riley's like, why are you wearing that or whatever? Yeah.
And so I really like this moment, not just because it's funny, but also like Topanga has a good moment with her daughter where she begins to actually teach her a real lesson, which she's saying, like, this is a reflection of the best part of who I am. Is this who you want to be and who you care about? And is it, are you just doing it for them?
Yeah, she Riley says, I'm popular with five people, and Topanga's like, is one of those five people you?
Yeah.
Are you okay with this? Are you popular with yourself? Do you like yourself?
Yeah,
and I feel like the lesson's a little bit wasted on Riley because of the next scene.
Well, what's interesting is that she doesn't say, like, what Corey was trying to do or what Maya's trying to do, like, hey, no, stop.
Yeah.
She says, like, oh, do you really think
this
is in your best interest? Yeah. Is this what you want to be?
And so I remember,
is different than what she said last time.
Yeah, and so I think that, personally, I wish this scene had gone on a little bit longer. I wish that Topanga had resolved the issue for her.
Yeah, like, that's entirely how I feel.
So, like, I don't think that... Even though I think there were some interesting parts about the next scene in the spelling bee, I think that this is, like, the more dramatic, good teaching moment, and that we also haven't gotten a whole lot of Topanga being the one to do that for our daughter.
Yeah.
I will say, I don't know if it needs to be longer. I think it was actually pretty effective in its brevity. I just think it definitely should have been more of a stopping point, where at that point she's like, oh, hey...
Yeah.
Let me go fix things.
Yeah, then we could have had a scene where Riley goes into her room and maybe looks into her mirror.
Yeah,
no, she doesn't have to look in the mirror, but maybe she's just like, is this who I am? Is this like what I want? And like actually have some reflection of what Riley thinks, because we definitely didn't get that. And then the next day she comes in and she's like, fine.
Yeah, so I do want to at least acknowledge, I think they were being kind of, you know, pretty down on this Harajuku girl storyline. And I will say that they are doing a pretty different take on a tried-and-true trope of, like, usually this theme, this lesson would come from, oh, I'm dressing like the popular girls, I'm dressing like this and that, and I'm not being
I'm getting my ears pierced.
Yeah,
like Kimmy Gibbler.
Yeah, exactly. Dressing like a bad girl or something, and then I realize that that's not who I actually want to be, I'm going to be who I want to be, and... It is at least a different take
it's
on
unique.
It.
The problem is it doesn't make sense within its own universe. Yeah. They could have easily made it specifically about
the
that.
Yeah, the Harajuku girl thing
been,
is kind of cool.
Fine. It would have been mostly fine if they just made it about that. But the problem is they tried to equate that with the nerd culture, which I'm sure could slightly work if that was specifically what they were talking about, but that never came up until she dressed like that.
In fact, they even like acknowledge that when they said that she's having an influence on them, and and the nerds start wearing this like anime-ish stuff, and it's like, that is... What?
when it would have made more sense if she got that influence from them.
Yeah, there's no
because that was the catalyst.
Why don't we just... finish out Riley's storyline and just say, so they have the spelling bee, we have this weird Smackle character who I guess
she was there
scenes.
Earlier at the party.
I know.
I think in general the spelling bee, both in its introduction and its performance, it gained nothing, and it also was a really strange arbitrary sort of test for her to have to pass to be a part of the group.
Yeah, I did like was how Corey and Maya handled it with, bringing up that it's actually a culture that matters to certain kinds of people from that culture, and that Riley is just completely, like, just doing this for weird reasons, and that she doesn't really know what she's doing, and, it was kind of an odd resolution that I didn't feel was necessary.
Yeah, I think Topanga would have been a better resolution,
and
this is just more theatrical.
Yeah. Speaking of theatrics, as far as the resolution with Topanga's storyline, so I can't decide, like, whether... So they decide to chip in and help pay for the bakery. So Topanga has to be a really, really sought-after lawyer to not only get away with making her company lose a case on purpose, because so like the
and
client
threaten her boss
and
with
threaten
leaving,
her boss with leaving,
and destroying
and
him.
get money out of him. He's extorting him.
Yeah,
she's blackmailing her boss for money.
Yeah,
and
it's
making
funny
him and making him lose extra money by
by dropping the case.
Yeah, and
by
she's like,
because the client's gonna.
Yeah, I think in general, the fact that she needed to ask for an advance didn't make sense because they don't need all of it right now. If she's a lawyer, she's obviously making
also
enough
if it's
money
already
in subsidized.
If it's already in the Ukrainian lady's name, and he's just upping the rent, they just need to give her the part of the rent she needs that month.
Right. Yeah.
So I guess it was a little awkward.
Well, I also like, is the idea supposed to be okay? So I don't even know whether I wanted it to be that she like gave up her job for this or not. Like, I guess it's good that she's not giving up her like high paid, intelligent, hardworking position
that she went to college for.
But at the same time, it just seems kind of easy.
Yeah, I think maybe if she could have like persuade her boss to like, or she could have found something that would have been a better business opportunity. Yeah. Maybe even using the bakery. Like, if you keep the bakery, like this could happen.
I'll give you a.
Or even just, I think just making the hard choice and sacrificing your job. Even I mean, like if that's what she wanted to do. Like,
Okay, so then it goes on to, they're basically partners now in the bakery, and Topanga says this line, which is a great Boy Meets World reference, and I really liked it, and she said, "We've always done well, now it's time to do good," which is a direct reference to what Mr. Feeny says to them in the last episode of Boy Meets World. Do good, put good out there into the world. You can do well at your life, at your job, and, like, be proficient, but, like, put good out into the world. And that's what she's doing by getting this bakery to continue to thrive, and they just end with at the bakery, and everyone is Corey and Topanga are eating together, Augie's off with the bakery owner, and Riley's with Maya, and Riley says to Maya, like, you know what's the best thing about having a best friend? Like, you're always popular with them, or something along those lines. And so it's like the message Sean teaches to Corey, where, like, you just really need your best friend and don't bail on them,
and we kind of get our new chubbies.
Oh, that's true. This is rumored to be the place where the kids start hanging out.
No, I feel like just the fact that we end the episode with three different people hanging out there, three different groups of people, kind of.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Right now it's just the family,
I mean,
but we'll see how it progresses.
I like the visual of it. I like that set.
Yeah.
I feel like this is an okay episode. I also want to just say that as far as the Boy Meets World episode we were talking about, I don't really feel like that was a great episode of Boy Meets World either.
Yeah.
I feel like it was fine.
It was completely comedic. But moving on, time for
Mail Time. Mail Time. Mail Time.
Mail Time. The mail's here.
Alright, so now that we're in the mail time, I just wanted to start by, we have one email, so I want to say thank you to this listener, Lisa, for sending us our first official email.
And follow suit.
Yes, very excited. You can be like Lisa and email us at gmwpodcast@gmail.com. So she actually also did it through the blog, which is gmwpodcast.wordpress.com. She went on the contact page and filled out a little form.
She's hardcore.
Yeah, so
she is tech savvy, y'all.
She says, "Hi, podcast people.
My name is Lisa, as we established, because we've said Lisa like 10 times now. I listened to all of your podcasts so far. I used to listen to Daniel White's old podcast relating to Glee, and I also emailed him about the podcast. I was very excited to learn about a Girl Meets World following Boy Meets World. I watched all of Boy Meets World, and I think that Girl Meets World is fantastic, until you three pointed out how not awesome it was.
Oh, boy.
Because because the producers were trying too hard with the show. Your podcasts are so long, just like I'm sure this one is, but funny to listen to. I am not a middle schooler. I am a 21-year-old in my fourth year at the university I am attending. I have seen all the episodes so far and hope to listen to all of your podcasts. Have a great week, Lisa." Well, first of all, I hope you too have a great week, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa, and we're so sorry.
Yeah,
you should probably stop listening.
No, do not stop listening. I think you'll enjoy it. And we're toning it down.
Yes.
I'm very sorry if you don't think it's as awesome now.
Yeah, so I will just say, as just like a matter of thing, we're trying to
be realistic and critical as a way to dissect it and talk about things. It's important to be able to break things down.
Because as we said in this episode, Boy Meets World wasn't like super awesome this time either. So everything has its moment.
I just want to make it clear that I am very much enjoying the show. I just look very critically at everything. So
this is true.
Yeah.
I would never.
No, but I hope we don't make you look a little too critically at the show.
Yeah, definitely keep loving the show. Don't let us sway you too much. Always question everything here.
Yeah. And But thank you so much for listening and for emailing us, and please others follow suit.
And also, so we have
we should get
gold listeners.
We should get a club membership. Like if you like unlocked like points, like if you tweet us, you
let
get,
us
like,
know
five
if you like this
email,
idea.
So you get like 25
You meet
points.
The world if you get this one.
Yeah,
much.
Yeah.
You meet the universe.
The first step is happy third subway ride.
Anyways, so now we have a couple tweets here, and this one says at Carl Kirby says, "I'm a fan of your podcast. You guys rock. You rock too, Carl."
Yes,
not as hard as we rock. Because we rock pretty hard.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know about you, Dan. I rock pretty hard.
I'm like a boulder.
Guitar Hero told me that I rock a couple times.
Okay.
I also, just quickly, I said Carl Kirby and I had a nice little chat on Twitter a couple days ago, and he seems pretty cool. So follow that dude.
Nice.
Or don't, if you respect his privacy at all.
On Twitter. Not in real life.
Don't stalk him, but enjoy his social media.
Stalk us, though.
And at Clara Agmes says, "I completely agree with you about Farkle, Caitlin. His behavior really bothers me. Love listening to you guys' podcast, by the way." Well, thank you, Clara, and I'm glad that...
Caitlin completely made up Clara. She doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's your alter ego.
Guys! Guys! That is not nice to say. First of all, this woman exists.
Yeah.
And so that's just mean. She is not a figment of my imagination. Second of all, how dare you? But anyways.
Thank you for listening, people.
I'm glad we're building
the
following. Let me talk to Clara.
Hi, Clara.
I just want to say thank you for tweeting in. I'm glad that you like our podcast and you love listening to us. And I like to hear people's opinions of whether they agree or disagree with us, and that makes me feel like I'm on a pretty good path, at least I'm not being too negative if people agree with me.
Yeah.
And we asked a couple people to tune in real quick before the podcast to say what their direct thoughts were on Girl Meets Popular, and here's what they had to say.
Alright, so I'm going to quickly read through, and I apologize if I like skim you guys a little bit.
Or if we mispronounce your Twitter name at all.
So,
Twitter name.
Twitter handle? at Just a Fangirl said, "Girl Meets Popular was so amazing. I cried through the whole thing. I thought Rowan looked absolutely adorable. Sabrina was amazing as always." Agreed. Danielle brought me to tears with the nostalgia there. And Ben was just perfect. Augie was
I
even
understand
more.
You having so much trouble that being so close to your own name. So I understand why it's very hard for you to understand just being the female version of your own name.
I'm really tired. Augie was even more adorable this time. And I love.
Dan, you're just reading the screen on your phone.
I am really loopy. Okay, and I loved that Riley and Topanga scene. And the flashback was so perfect, and I was dying of tears. Loved it. So, you've heard our thoughts. I'm sorry, we don't completely agree with you. But I'm glad you enjoyed the episode.
And you know what? Nostalgia, everyone takes it differently. So, there you go.
There you go.
Thank you for tweeting in.
And I'm going to sort of scan through this one from at Girl Meets World NY. I think that stands for New York.
Wow.
It's a long thing because she put a note thing up of pictures. Okay, so she says, "Okay, basically, I feel like Girl Meets Popular was the best episode so far for multiple reasons. A, it taught kids all the important stuff, like don't change to be popular, but in a different way." I sort of stole her comment here. Instead of Riley changing to fit with the popular crowd, she changed to go with the crowd that she would never before want to go with, and that's better, to be honest. And then B, because Topanga had such a strong plot line, and had...
Dan has
wow, where did she get those?
And had to put herself and her beliefs against what her job tells her to do. And we got to see old Topanga and the flashback for Topanga.
Old as in young.
Although it would have been an 11 out of 10 episode if she did the lipstick thing.
I agree. Yep. All right, actually, I think if you go back to the podcast, we agreed with a lot of those things.
Yeah, and it's because they're pretty great.
Yeah. And just to explain to everyone why Dan sounds ridiculous like this is we started this at about 2:30 and it's 5:14 a.m.
Dedication.
We're just really weird.
Yeah.
We're so night owls. I want to just say sorry to anyone if we didn't get to your tweets, just because I feel like I want to sleep.
But don't feel discouraged about tweeting in next time because you might catch us at an earlier hour, like one.
Emails, we love them. You can send them to gmwpodcast@gmail.com, and you can go to the blog at gmwpodcast.wordpress.com. You can go to iTunes. We need some iTunes reviews to get up there and the ratings, so our reviews and ratings are really simple and quick.
Help us crush the competition.
If our reviews and ratings get higher, then maybe we might have some more special side things for you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, we never really talked about this. We actually have, like, there's a lot of competition. Like, when we started this, like, we kind of thought about this a little
early.
Don't
let them know about what the competition is.
They're all terrible.
I'm just saying, like, it's interesting for me looking how much is even still springing out.
Yeah.
On iTunes, on YouTube, all different things. Like, everybody's talking about this show.
Yeah, it's, I mean, that's we should also mention season 2, officially confirmed.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
One of the biggest shows at the 2 to 14 demographic. This is a big splash hit for them. I'm sure this is what Disney wanted.
2 to 14?
Yeah. Age 2.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's kind of a big gap.
Yeah.
That's how they measure it.
Well, the adults is, like, a huge gap.
But, okay, that's different then. Yeah. 2 to 14 is a huge gap.
Yeah, this doesn't seem like a 2-year-old show.
It's saying kids, but yeah.
And also, they have a huge percentage of adults watching this show too.
I will say that they get something like 4 million downloads and not downloads. Watch is on the Watch Disney app, which sounds like a lot for on an app.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so the show's doing well. So we have competition. So help us out. iTunes review. Subscribe to iTunes. Check out our YouTube channel for when we do those reaction videos. We didn't manage to get one in
today.
They're
zany.
But we'll do one next time, hopefully. That's the GMW podcast.
So this has been another event.
Did you say everything? Twitter. Yeah. Follow us on Twitter. At GMW Podcast. And tweet at us, because we like that.
So this has been another eventful episode of Kids Get Acquainted with the Internet. And we're going to sign out now and get some sleep.
So,
bye, everyone.
Bye-bye, Maya.
Bye-bye.